Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. I hope you're hearing me loud and clear. So just before we get to our first guest of the morning, a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street, west in the Auckland CBD, opposite the iconic Civic Theatre. They have a selection of local craft and international draft beers on tap, a good selection of bottled beers, fine wines, good spirits, great food and music Wednesday through to Sunday. And also they will be open for the big World Cup match at 9 a.m. between England and Norway. Their number is 09-377-3142. Or you can email us. Email them, not me, them, fatherteds@hotmail.com. Well, we come to round two in the Nations Cup. It's been a fantastic game last week. AJ Wetton is on holiday this week, but it's a real privilege to have our next guest. He's a former All Black, 71 to 76, former All Black coach, 1992 to 1995, and what he says, he is real good common rugby sense. Please welcome former All Blacks and former All Blacks coach Laurie Maines. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How's things today?
Absolutely brilliant. It's a beautiful day up here in Auckland. We're hoping that the weather doesn't change for next week. As you know, we've got a little bit of a big test, but I'm just when we get, obviously we've got the All Blacks Italy at 5:10 p.m. tonight, but last week's games, the All Blacks just winning by 2 points, but just your feelings on that game. Would Dave Rennie be happy with what happened last week?
Well, I think, look, for Dave Rennie's first game and his need to make a few changes and start building his own team, I'd be pretty happy if I was in his position. I thought that was one of the best games of rugby I've seen for a long time at international level. And, rugby has been getting bogged down with so much crashing and bashing close in and lack of creativity in their play. While both the All Blacks and France had creativity and great ball skills, they were passing the ball to people coming out of thin air almost and under great pressure. Both teams did it and did it brilliantly. I was very excited by that game.
And I have to say, you know, when we looked at it, France really gave us a great match. I must admit, Shelley Bear at first 5'8", God, there was always something on when he had the ball, especially in the All Blacks 22. But then we go to today. Now, Italy, Dave Rennie, he's made five changes. In comes Tyrell Lomax, in comes Tupu Vai, in comes Wallace Setiti, in comes Billy Proctor, and in comes Leroy Carter. He's, you know, basically given them a go. There's a potential debut off the bench for Anton Segner. But what's your feelings on these changes?
Well, look, what better time to do it? Seriously, I don't think Italy are going to be a particularly difficult opponent for the All Blacks to have a comfortable win. If they play with the skill and tenacity that they did last week, I think the All Blacks will have a comfortable win. They have to perform, though. They can't just go out and say, we're going to beat Italy. They got to go out as determined, as a team, to carry on their development so that they can secure a comfortable win. I personally would like to see Anton Segner. I'm disappointed he didn't start is not starting on the open side. I think he's a great player. That's no disrespect to Luke Jacobson, who I think, incidentally, is better suited to blindside flanker. But what the All Black selectors have got in mind in the long term, who knows? But I'd be very excited to see Segner playing. But I'm going to be excited to see the All Blacks with all their changes. I think Tyrell Lomax had to come in. It's just a pity Fabian Holland is not fit. because I believe that he's the one missing link in that All Black pack. He's huge. He tackles well. He gets through an awful lot of work. Let's hope he gets over his injury and back to playing soon.
Absolutely, and of course then you have a look, and you know, they're giving Billy Proctor another run at centre, obviously under the previous coaching regime. The game plan probably didn't suit that. They're probably just giving him a chance to see if he is that quality centre.
Yeah, well, how else do you find out? I mean, Billy Proctor is a very good Super Rugby player. Whether he's going to be a very good test player or not, you know, he's there or thereabouts, and it's definitely worth having a look at him. He certainly played well for the Hurricanes.
He certainly did. It'll be good to see how under this new coaching regime and under Mike Blair, who's very much the attack coach for the All Blacks, how he fares under that system. I think he will be tested because the Italians have a very, very good midfielder, Minicello. He was one of the form players in Six Nations and really probably one of the premier midfield backs in world rugby.
Yeah, he started off with that try against Japan, which, you know, he ran very good lines and showed a bit of pace. But to be honest, seeing Japan's performance against Italy, I think it exposed Italy as being not such a great team. Now they're going to be on a much higher level tonight. I'm sure they're going to want to take the All Blacks on. But I can't see them being too serious opposition if the All Blacks carry on and build from what they achieved last week.
Absolutely, and I think it's a big test, and obviously with Dave Rennie, he has, I would say in his mind, he would have probably the top side to probably play Ireland next week at Eden Park.
Yep, I think that would, well, you'd be taking a risk if you didn't. Because Ireland showed against Australia last week, and they've shown against the All Blacks in recent years that they are a very committed, dangerous opponent. And that's going to be the cracker for me. That's going to be the test of this mini-series until the All Blacks move overseas and start playing South Africa. That'll be tough. But I'm really looking forward to that. And that will be the team. Adi Savia's chance to make a statement as a captain to lead the team against Ireland, and for Dave Rennie and his coaches to with two other games under their belts, to go in against Ireland with a very strong approach.
Absolutely. Well, some of the other games in the Nations Cups, and there's been a lot of changes on a lot of the sides, and mostly with some of the Northern Hemisphere sides. South Africa's made 10 changes to their starting 15, but it's Australia versus France. France have made 7 changes, but as we've previously said, I believe France is building towards, as you said to me, the Six Nations, potentially a World Cup.
Yes, I've got no doubts that they are. A lot of their top players that they've had for so long are getting towards the end of their careers, and they are clearly using this Nations Cup to develop the next level. One thing about France, and maybe more than any other nation, they seem to have a tremendous amount of depth of players at that top level. And with the French psyche, they seem to be able to rise to the big games. And I think what I saw last week from a team that largely I didn't know the players very much, not that I follow it like I used to, but the way they played, and now they're making 7 changes, I'm going to watch this game with a great deal of interest, because if they carry on and get a win against Australia, look out, world rugby.
Absolutely. And then we have Japan versus Ireland. Andy Farrell has made 9 changes to the starting lineup.
Well, I think that's wise. The coaches, they want to give all of these players a chance to keep the players motivated, keep everybody motivated, and develop them and have a look at them and see what they're like. He'll be looking at Japan and saying, well, boy, they were good enough to beat Italy, so they're going to give us a good go. So this will be a good test for the extra players that he brings in. For me, the team seemed to be using the Nations Cup to build for next year's World Cup, and what a great platform it is for them. They've got a mixture of not so difficult games and very difficult games, and it's a perfect setup. But not going to be any advantage to the All Blacks or to France or to South Africa, because every one of the top nations are getting the same building platform.
Absolutely. And then we have Fiji versus England. Fiji playing in Cardiff, obviously, because they can see financial reward by being based up in the Northern Hemisphere. England, a bit ill-disciplined against South Africa last week. I think England will just be too good for them, Laurie.
Yeah, I do too. I think if England hadn't dropped their bundle a little bit, they could have run South Africa close. You know, they were doing extremely well in that first half hour, and as you say, a bit of ill discipline, and they sort of dropped their bundle, whether it was individual players or, you know, the team itself, I'm not sure, but they're a better team than what the final score against South Africa indicated.
And of course, then we move on, South Africa versus Scotland. Rossi Erasmus has made a number of changes, but Scotland were very impressive last week, Laurie.
Yes, they were. South Africa have got a bit like France. They've got a great deal more depth than perhaps they've had in the past, and they are promoting these players and giving them the opportunity to prove themselves. Scotland will be a bit of a test for them, but... you know, I've got no doubts that they will beat Scotland, but they might be given quite a test, just to see how good they are. I felt England sort of let the game go last week, and Scotland won't let it go the same way. South Africa will have to earn their points.
Oh, I think they will have to too. I think that, you know, we look at some of the games over the weekend. You talked about Australia-France, this Scotland-South Africa match. That could be another one to watch. Argentina at home, they've made 5 changes to their 15. They take on Wales. A confidence-boosting win for Wales for Steve Tandy and his men over Fiji, but... Argentina really want to nail a decent statement victory at home.
I'm sure they will, but I want to say this about Wales. It's a change in leadership and coaching, and Wales doesn't lack players as a nation. It's been so disappointing to see them not up there over the last few years. But I actually think that they will give Argentina a good run. They've had a win. You can see how much they were buoyed by it. And they played some good rugby at times against Fiji. Were no pushover. And they're playing well. And this is going to be a really good test for Wales to see where they're at, but also a test for Argentina to see if they can come on a bit more than they've shown recently.
Absolutely, Laurie. I have to say, this Nations Cup concept, I must admit, I thought, oh, really, do we need it? But I actually think it's been some interesting matches and some good matchups.
It's a fabulous competition, but I'm speaking from New Zealand rugby's point of view here. We're going to have a close look at this and weigh up the amount of rugby these players are playing, and I'm talking top-level rugby. When you take Super Rugby, and they were tough games right through Super Rugby, then they're no sooner finished that, and they're into tough games with test matches. And what is it? Do they play 12 test matches throughout the remainder of this year in the Nations Cup? And they're against the top teams in the world. The players can't sustain that. I mean, in terms of future years, we're going to have a very close look at how we rotate players because there is a limit as to how much they can play at this top level.
I think we need to go back to traditional tours, Laurie.
Well, I like the concept of this Nations Cup. Don't get me wrong, I like it, and it's putting a different competition. And if what we saw in Australia, Ireland, and in New Zealand, France last week is an indicator of the sort of rugby we're going to get, you know, that is fantastic. If we go back to traditional tours, yes, it's good for development of the next tier of players, but it's, you know, just loading more top-level games onto the players, and they're already getting too much. Nobody wants to see Super Rugby without the best players. And then you have the Nations Cup, which throughout the remainder of the year is going to give the teams 10 more test matches. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to sustain that.
Interesting indeed. Just for our listeners, the picky results over the weekend: Blues 42, Chiefs Manawa 26, Mata 2 take on Hurricanes Power in Christchurch, and I think all roads head to Christchurch for probably that final. Laurie, I'd just like to say, this is the third time you've been on here, and I always enjoy our conversations, especially about rugby, and I really value your knowledge, and thank you so much for making yourself available today, Laurie.
It's been a pleasure. It's made me think a bit, because I don't follow rugby as closely as I used to, but I've had to do some thinking today.
Good on you, Laurie. Hey, have a great weekend, mate.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers.
Bye now.
Bye. Laurie Mayne's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Okay, next up, we're just going to have a quick conversation. We're going to do our regional club rugby wrap with Stephen Harris.
He don't talk too much. When he does, the whole room gets luminous. Light everywhere. He said earlier this year, he tuned down real low, searching on the hi-fi radio. And then something moved him. He's never been the same since. Walks real slow pace. She knows where she be going. International lifestyle control amplified by what she knows. Knapsacks, headphones. She be stepping with that rugged flow. She powerful. Her mind's on audio.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and big shout out to Force Electrical. A bit about Force Electrical: they were started in 2014 by my mate Nick Brakovich, and they've grown to be a trusted name across the wider region. Why you should choose them? Well, first of all, they're reliable and they have knowledge that sets them apart. They stay ahead of the latest industry standards and technology. What they do? Well, what can't they do? They can do anything from residential to commercial projects, ongoing electrical maintenance, solar panel systems with inverters and battery storage, ELV solutions. So if you're looking for any electrical work at home or at your business, give Nick a call. His number is 021-628-341, or you can email Nick at forceelectrical.co.nz. Well, we come to our regional club rugby wrap finals, Dave. Good morning to Stephen Harris. How are you?
Very good, thank you, Eamon. Always a privilege and a pleasure, never a chore. And boy, I've got to say, what a beautiful winter's day, not just here in Auckland, but I believe up in Northland as well for these club finals. So, man, wherever you are around the country, well, around this region, I should say, get out there, even down in the counties area.
Yeah, yeah, get out there and support them. Well, we're going to go to Whangarei, Northland, the club final. It's Mid-Northern, what a surprise, taking on Western Sharks. It's a bit of deja vu here, Stephen, but Mid-Northern, big, big favourites.
Oh, 100%. Listen, it's an early start too at the Seminole Stadium as well. They've got the under 18 finals, which starts under an hour. It's Kiri Kiri Kaikohe. Then they've got the Premier Reserve Grade final, Mid Northern and Clohu Valley. That's actually the reserve grade for Western Sharks as well. So there you go. Well done to both these clubs, getting both their Premier and Reserve teams in final. And of course, cut in between is Kaitaia and Eastern. In the Northland Wide Championship final, I'm picking Kaitaia to do that one. There's a bit of rivalry up that way in the far north. Some good footy played up there, man.
Yeah.
And of course, Mid-Northern versus Western Sharks. Well, it's one versus three. Like you say, Mid-Northern unbeaten this year. Man, I had a quick look at their lineup, and they've got several guys who are in who are going to be named in the Northland NPC squad. Western Sharks willing to rely on a very sort of grunty forward pack. They've got one current Northland player in Jordan Hutchings, but they've also got a couple of veterans who have both played for Northland, Matt Matic and of course Corey Tafatakoli, who still packs down a very good scrum. Listen, big job, I've got to say, for Western Sharks. I don't think you can go past Mid-Northern on this day. I think Western Sharks will probably hang in the fight for 60 minutes, but this Mid-Northern team, man, they have got threats all over the paddock, and I think they'll be crowned this year, 2026 Northland Wide Champions, come around about 4:30.
Absolutely. Then we go down, then we go down the Northern Motorway. We head into North Harbour Territory. Big final there at North Harbour Stadium. It's Massey versus Takapuna. Takapuna, of course, a big upset by beating what seemed the unbeatable North Shore last week, and Massey had a big win over East Coast Bays.
Yeah, and pretty incredible. We were all shocked by that. I think I might have picked it, though, and that was just on the back of a conversation I had with assistant coach Shane Neville on the Friday, who said, listen, that was the first time this year they'd actually put a full-strength team on the paddock. You know, welcome back both their harbour locks, Tristan Cook and Jack Lee, who are very good players. And, boy, that's it. And they've also got a front row that's all played for North Harbour. Of course, their head coach, Paul Ratfini, is the coach of Takapuna, and he's done a wonderful job. And boy, they've got a lot of strength off the bench as well. The exciting Solomone Tuitupo, who's the nephew of, remember, Slamming Sammy Tuitupo, the Blues midfielder. He straight out of Westlake Boys. He goes pretty good. But listen, they've got their threats as well. You look at Harbour once again, man. They've also, this could be some game. I'm going to try and get away from the under 21 final and head out there, although Eden Park is a little bit closer, and that should be a cracker. This is a day that you wish you could be in about five places at one given time. So I would imagine some of these finals are being streamed, so I might have the phone going as well. But Amon, you're just waiting for me to make a decision, mate. I know Messi are playing at home.
I'm going for Takapuna.
I'm going for Takapuna. They're playing at home. I think they're the team to beat. And once again, unusual again. It's the second ranked team versus the fourth ranked team. So there you go.
Absolutely. Then we move down to counties, Manukau. Now, Ardmore Maris, a few years ago, we would be picking on them to usually be on the other side of the ledger, and by a lot. Well, they made some progress last year, and this year they've really done well. A lot of players returning. They take on Pukekohe. Pukekohe caused a bit of an upset by beating Karaka, but to me, Ardmore Maris, they've been the best team in the competition.
Yeah, once again, I look through these team lists, and these teams are just absolutely stacked. A few ex-Auckland guys, remember Boston Schuster, who played for Gramatic?
Yeah.
And also Marist as well, down there as well. Alfred Nonu, who played for who played for University. So there's a few Auckland boys that have sort of gone down the highway as well. An interesting fun fact, Savalio Ropati, who was the skipper of Monaco when they won the title in 2022 and 2023, will be coming off the bench there for Ardmore Maris. So, man, well travelled, so probably on target to pick up another trophy as well. Antonio Papali and Josh Gray at the back for Ardmore Maris. Boy, they're a lethal combination. Simon Peter Toliafua. So, man, these names, they all played for counties last year when they had that pretty good run to the final. Boy, this is going to be a big ask for Pukekohe. I think Ardmore Maris, man, they only got beaten once this year, and I think they will be holding up the title at the end of this game. Man, super excited about that final.
Absolutely. So we're just going now. Everyone's going to say I'm biased towards Auckland. Well, yeah, I do, because I am a biased guy, even though I give Auckland Rugby a hard time, which I will never stop doing. Anyway, this is what's in the Auckland Reunion big final stage in the 85 kgs. It's an all varsities final between the Squids and the Slugs. Now, I've seen the Squids and the Slugs play. I think I'm going to back the Squids. 21s down at Western Springs, 1 p.m. Ponsonby versus Waitemata.
Yeah, I'll go back to that 85 grade. You know, those two teams, the squids and the slugs.
You almost said the lizards. Around. I was wishing you would say that.
You did. The Squids and the Slugs. They actually met in round three, and it was 22-20 to the university's Squids. So just based on that, boy, I'll tell you what, imagine that having it in one club. There'll be quite the rivalry. And I think I probably got to go with the Squids over the Slugs. And of course, you mentioned that under 21 final. And boy, once again, both these under 21 teams caused upsets last weekend. Of course, Ponsonby with the big upset over the top ranked, over the second placed Grammar Tech side, and Waitemata pulling off the big upset over College Rifles. So you've actually got number three versus number four in this afternoon's final. Should be an absolute belter. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff at Western Springs, I believe. Listen. Ponsonby not going to be easy to beat. Waitemata did beat them during the round robin. Just Waitemata, just with a few injuries at the moment, but boy, they've trailed well. And man, I just hope this Waitemata team can do the business. I really do.
I hope so too. Yeah,
I'm showing my bias, but it's been a tough year for the club. But one thing that they have got some good young fellas coming through, and it's just great to see, man. I think hopefully Waitemata get the job done.
Yeah, you have to be. You need to take my example and be impartial.
Example. I can't be, but I'll be heading out there to watch that game, and boy, can't wait.
Absolutely. Okay, in the third division, it's Rifles Reserves versus Suburbs Reserves. I'm just going to say, it's third division, so Rifles will come through in that one. In the second division, some interesting talk about promotion relegation. I've got my feelings on this, but it's the second division final between Papatoetoe and Waitakere.
Yeah, it could be a beauty. These two teams meet in the early rounds as well, and of course Papatoetoe got the job done, but not by much. But we've seen a lot of improvement from Waitakere in this competition. I've got a soft spot for Waitakere. I know a lot of those boys who went in that team. I'm hoping they get the job done, but maybe home ground advantage, you got to go for Papatoetoe. And you know, when you got Brad Meeker and your coaching staff, that's got to be a good thing.
Anyway, we move on to the big one, 2:45 Eden Park, and it's Grammar Tech versus University. University caused a big upset by beating Ponsonby. Grammar Tech have been solid all season. This one is a tough one to call. My head says G Tech because of consistency, and my heart says, because I've got a lot of time for Freda McLean, who I think's an absolute champion bloke, I'm hoping Varsity win, and I'm hoping OJ isn't listening to me because he'll give me a real short shove when he sees me next. weeks. But listen, I think it's going to be a great final. I think, you know, I'm going to pick Varsity more for the fact is that, you know, once you beat Ponsonby on Western Springs, not too many people, too many teams beat them in normal rounds and not in a semi-final. I can tell you one team that did, that was Eden, and they went on to win the Gallagher Shield. I think Varsity will take this one.
Yeah, listen, you're right about old Fredo McLean. He's a heck of a nice guy. He's knocked on this door a few times. Of course, there was that final a few years ago, 2023, against University. They went down to a very good Monaco team. So, you know, let's hope it's his day in the sun. Of course, on the other side of the ledger, first-year coach Matt Moles, former Northland hooker, as well. How good. You come straight into coaching, and you're coaching a team in a Grand Shield final. Listen, I've had a good look at both of these teams, and boy, they're evenly matched. I mean, it's Grammar Tech, like, very fortunate to have some NPC players there. Sam Davies, who will be named in the former North Harbour men at Lucid Prop, who will be named in the Auckland team. Liam Hallam-Ems, of course, who's the skipper, playing his 56th match here today for Grammar Tech, also will be named, I believe, in the Auckland NPC team. But you've got the likes of Hoha Few, former Ponsonby man, running the cutter at first five. Good young player, and good to see Quinton Nicholas out there as well in the centres, former Northland midfielder winger, who I believe will also be named in the Auckland NPC team. Sorry, Auckland, if I'm in best your bubble there.
Do you know any chance I had of getting Stephen Bates on the air is now gone?
yeah, I know. You're screwed, but that's a hell of a bench. That the when you got Shea Clark that can come off the bench, and of course the very promising Robson Faiafa, boy, that's a good bench. I look at the University team, and once again, man, they've got Rico Simpson at first five. Rico Simpson and Luke Donaldson, former Bay of Plenty, North Harbour halfback. Man, that's a good pair to actually run the cutter and move this team around. But the player I'm the most excited about is probably the next big thing in New Zealand rugby, and I see he's been given dispensation to play for University, is Eli Eidenrein, who will be playing in the number 7 jersey for University. And man, what a pickup that is. Obviously, registered with University earlier in the year, and has until the 16th of this month to re-register with the Tasman Union, I believe. So being the 11th today, it's all good. So will he be the difference in this game? Who the heck knows? But you've got some experience off the pine as well. Tyrone Elkington and Henry Saker, who were the halfback combination in that in that final back in 2023 against Monaco. Mate, we're all set. Man, if I have to go somewhere, I'll go for University, but only just. I think it's going to be a tight one. I really do.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Always, we've had some great fun doing this club chat, and I will have you on next week to do something on the show, our 6th anniversary. But have a wonderful weekend, and thank you for your contribution this year.
No, not a problem at all. Mate, there was a lot of there was a lot of pre-work that went into this this final day, mate, so I'll send you the invoice, brother.
Oh, okay, mate. Yep. Coffee's on me next time, mate. Hey, take care, bro. Thanks, mate.
See you, mate.
Bye. Stephen Harris, he's absolutely wonderful, isn't he? He's just brilliant. Okay, next up, we've got another Stephen. It's Stephen McIver. As we talk a bit of NRL, and I'll talk some more from Rugby League.
Yeah. watch can go so high. You need a strength most don't possess. Or has it ever come down to do or die? You got to rise above the rest.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. And just before we go on to our next guest, just a message from our sponsors. Weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean the bait station, keep the wife's tomato plants happy, all with the water smart tanks. No water restrictions, no worries, and different sizes to suit your property. Check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. Well, our usual man Joey Green is on holiday, and I've got a very, very special guest. I have to say, he's probably one of the most versatile and probably one of the best commentators, presenters on New Zealand TV, and he does some shows for Sports Nation, and surprisingly, we had a chat yesterday, and we first met 30 years ago, a long, long time ago, but it's a very good morning, Stephen McIver. How are you, mate?
Morning, Eamon. Yeah, let's not go too deep into the dark, distant past, shall we?
Yeah, we're probably both at times, I know you might have a significant other listening, so I've got to be very, very careful here,
That's all good, mate. How are you? You good?
Yeah, good, mate. Hey, first of all, you done the call for Sports Nations last night, but Warriors 32, Tigers 6.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had a Cam Pereira double. Fisher Harris, metres among metres. Tamari Martinez was brilliant. But the guy that really shone out, Jacob Laban, I think this was the best game in a Warriors jersey I've seen him play.
I think when you play a Tigers team that was up and down like a yo-yo, and then you have someone who is built like a brick, you know what?
Yeah.
And an ability to step and pass that, as I said to Sammy afterwards on Sport Nation, that the call about, you know, the likeness in many ways to Ali Lauatiti, and we're going way back there, the ability get that big arm around, but also just sit on the shoulder of someone and be there when it mattered. I think that was outstanding. I think Jacob Laban, I mean, Sam even suggested he could be a future captain. I'll park that one for the moment, but you're right. He stood out. But what it also highlights is the amount of depth that the Warriors now have. You know, you still got to remember, you know, we've got Barnett to come back. You've got Capel to come back. So where do you fit Laban in that back row? And the amount of talent that they have, they're building a massive depth. And the what stood out last night, because there was a moment there when the Warriors owned the first 20 and then they sort of went to sleep a little bit and opened the door for the Tigers to come back. And normally when players are out, the Warriors in the past have struggled. They've struggled to battle. But they actually only conceded one try. Now, that wasn't bad. You know, normally there'd be other things going. So I actually thought it was a pretty fun effort. You talk about Fisher Harris. I actually think that I'll add to that, that was probably one of his best games. But again, if you're allowed to play, then that's going to happen, right? I'm with you on one thing, though. Now, we did a 3-2-1 at the end. I thought Tamari Martin stood up and led that team for the first time as a proper leader of that back line, that team, you know, taking it to the line, his kicking game, his passing game, his ability to actually take the line on. So he had that defence in two minds all evening. And I thought that was a standout performance by him, because when you consider what he's been through, remember, this is a guy that had to leave the game because of a brain bleed and retired and then came back. And you go, okay, all righty. And what he's doing now after, and of course having re-signed a new one-year deal, I think the Warriors are in a really good space. I'm not going to make silly calls about this is their year or how far they can go, but what they've shown is resilience this year that a lot of teams don't have. Yeah, they won't be happy with that performance. You can pile on 32 points, but there were some ugly errors in there, and they'll know, but as you and I both know, 2 points on the board, baby. They're a massive for and against, regardless of what happens below them this weekend. They'll end the weekend and still in second position.
And they're in a good spot. And I think, yeah, you're right. The player depth is absolutely amazing at the moment, Stephen. It's when one player's out, another player can come in. Listen, looking at the rest of the NRL weekend, and these are the Saturday games, Dolphins versus Sharks. Now, you may or may not agree with me, the Dolphins Dolphins remind me very much of the Warriors 2001-2002.
Actually, they do. And what scares me a little bit more about them is, I mean, after that 2-point win over the Warriors, they are starting to look potentially, and this is the, we're going to be really careful here, potentially the premiership threat. I mean, the back line is spectacular. I mean, this kid, Isaiah Katoa, you know, he's potentially a rock star of the future if he's not already. Cody Nikorima, who's off contract, and it could be a potential. And let's, you know, if you remember what happened this week with Jerome Luai being allowed to look for another club, it wouldn't surprise me if he looks at the Dolphins next year and goes, actually, could think about it, right?
Yeah.
He's got a year, right? He's got a year. They don't have to pay too much freight because the Tigers will hold most of it. And if you lock that experience of four-time premiership winner up with Isaiah Katoa and that team around them, I mean, they're losing Craig Averill. They're losing a couple of players. If they can get their... if they can keep their pack consistent, they will be a premiership threat. The way they play, yeah. I think they play with a little bit more direction, a little more consistency than the Wires of 2001, 2002. Although that 2002 side was pretty cool. And they're up against a Sharks side that's, I don't know, they're all over the show. It's five plays six, but the Dolphins are at home. I'm not convinced by the Sharks. They play ugly football. You know how you have a team that you don't like watching play? You say, I can't be bothered. For me, it's the Dragons and the Sharks. And I don't see the Sharks coming home with this one. But as we've seen, you never can tell in the NRL. So Dolphins, for me, I think it's a massive game for them to keep the pressure on the rest in the four. So Dolphins against the Sharks for me.
Okay, so we go Bulldogs versus Raiders. The Dogs of Wars, yeah, the Dogs of Wars have made a
my
bit
dog
of a...
Com- is my dog is,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, your mate, Mr. Halligan, but I have to say they've been very... both sides have been inconsistent, and for the level of players they've got. I don't know about you, Stephen. I just think the Dogs might steal this one.
They're at home for a start, so if you can't... you've got to win at home. I mean, more importantly, you've got to win away, but the Raiders are all over the shop. I just don't get them. You know, they won minor premiers last year. Yes, they were. I mean, for goodness sake, how do you go from top of the pole to literally the bottom of the heap? Their inconsistencies all over the shop. And, you know, people ask lots of questions about the coaching and whether Ricky's just got them all wound up like a spring. Who knows? But, I mean, on the flip side, Cameron Schiraldo hasn't done much with the Dogs. I mean, the decision to put now Burton in the centre is not at six, put Crichton back at six, and if Crichton plays, I know he was listed to play after the Origin one, and I don't think he didn't have to do too much. So I'm just going to double-check there quickly whether he's in or not. Yeah, no, he's in there. Matt Burton is centre, and then you've got Stephen Crichton and Lachlan Galvins, and Crichton's not at six. He's not a six, he's a centre. And I think they've made so much noise about what's happened with Lachlan Galvin, you sort of wonder what the hell else is going on. It's a pretty handy side still. I'm not so sure about this one. I think there's a lot of talent, young talent, at the Raiders. I think I'm going to go with you. I think I'm going to stick with the Doggies, not because they're my team, but I just think when you look at balance, I think there's a little bit more balance on the Doggies side. So Doggies for me.
Roosters versus Eels, even though the Roosters have had a few out with State of Origin, and the Eels, they may have their Magic Mitch is there, but I'm going to go for a Roosters victory.
Wow. The Eels are the other team I can't handle watching because they have had zero consistency. And if I'm Jason Rose, I'm wondering, what did I get myself into when I decided to... coach this team. Cody Ramsey comes in for James Tedesco, but they've got Mark Nawasi playing, who's an absolute freak. I think the one to look out for in this one, and I think you're right, is Nofahu White in the eight. I think Nofahu White is doing things that a lot of other teams would love in a number eight. And then you've got Spencer Leniu, who has been in and out, and they're looking to offload him still. But, yeah, it's a little bit of a different team. There's a little bit of consistency on the flip side with the Eels. Eels could nick this one. You just never know. Volkman and Pezzett in the halves. Ronald Volkman, the young boy that went out, left the Warriors, went to the Dragons, that didn't work out, ends up at the Eels. Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna upset you and say I'm gonna Eels sneak it by two. There you go.
Okay, Mr. McIver, you got that one.
Trust me, I'm a crap core. I'm a crap picker of teams, don't worry.
Oh, mate, believe me, we've had Seamus Martin on EPL. Elfink, you can't be any worse than him, mate. Hey, we go to Sundays. And I think this is the game of the round, the Rabbitohs versus the Knights. I'm picking a Knights victory, Stephen.
Yeah, if they can get over the emotion of the Jai Arrow birthday party at a Accor Stadium. It's his 31st birthday, and they're having a big birthday party. They're going to allow fans on the ground afterwards, the whole nine yards. There's a massive amount of emotion surrounding the Jai Arrow, which, you know, from MND, God, you wouldn't wish that on anyone, the poor bugger, and he's coping beautifully. And the whole sporting community around the Australasia is coming to him. You know, there were try scorers in the tests last week, rugby tests, doing arrows, firing the arrow. So Knights, this is the one team I'm really happy for, to see what they're doing, because when I watched them in Vegas at the beginning of the year, I went, finally they've got it right. I mean, Bradman Best is going to play, who I thought was an outstanding player in Origin on Wednesday night and should have been there a lot longer ago. Ponga will play. And I just like the look of what they've got. And the key to all of them is their pack. Their pack's been rolling. You have Dylan Lucas in the back row. There are some changes around the place. Tyson Frizzell, does he stay with the Knights next year? Don't know. They've had a few ups and downs, but I think the Rabbitohs just can't find it. They just can't seem to find that winning formula. Brandon Smith's playing better at nine now, and when you've got him with Totola and Kolomatangi in the front row, it's a strong, strong pack when David Fifita, you and Aiken. But there's just something about the Knights. I don't know what it is. We'll wait and see. Do I pick the Knights? Yes, just.
Okay, we move on to, I think that a team that has been one of the real form teams is a bit of Fosball with the Seagulls versus the Cowboys, Stephen.
Yeah, but up and down in the last couple of weeks, right? You know, they've got over that, the Fosball euphoria. Now it's down to the grind. And they were sitting close to the four a couple of weeks back. Now they're sitting in seventh against a Cowboys side that's had a little bit of a regeneration. Yeah, hard to call. I don't know if I can call this one, because you know what, you don't know what the big problem with the Cowboys, you actually don't know what you're going to get. Trevorovic was strong. I mean, if you look at matchups in this one, that's probably where you want to get a little bit excited. You know, Tom Trevorovic against Scott Drinkwater at the back. Now, that's pretty cool, to say the least. Then you've got Lehi Hopewate on one wing and Murray Taulagi on another wing, right? You just look at the little things and you go, okay, it's a big day for Joey Walsh. He's their next, they're saying he's the next big thing. Haven't seen much. He came off the bench in the last match, didn't do too much. Up against Jackson Purdue, who is very, very strong for the Cowboys. And you've got Fogarty and Clifford. So the halves battle, really, really, really strong. And then you go into the pack. The one kid I like in this Manly pack is Taniela Paseka. Big, lumbering unit, but got great feet. So, and then you've got Haumole Olakau'atu, who didn't get any time in Origin, backing him up with Ben and Jake Trevorovic. Manly for me, I've just convinced myself. Manly for me.
Okay, I tell you what, you keep on flipping and flopping, you know, you'd be a great chef.
Settle down.
Finally, the final game of the weekend, the Storm versus the Titans.
Yeah. Who would have thought we were talking about the Melbourne Storm to be sitting at 11th?
Yeah.
No one would have thought that. I don't know. There's still a lot of class in that Melbourne side, but there's a lot of fresh new faces too, right? I mean, you don't have the old school massive trio in you. I mean, you've got Hughes and Munster at 6 and 7. You've got Harry Grant, and that's probably enough.
Yeah,
I'm looking at both tied. Tino Faasamoloi is backing up from Origin. Harry's backing up from Origin. The two Queenslanders. I'm going to go Melbourne at home. They need to. I think they genuinely need to. But I think we've seen signs from the Titans. So they'll get pushed by the Titans, but I'll tip the Melbourne Storm on that one, buddy.
Well, I've looked at your picks, and I will be putting down my money at the TAB, and then we'll be giving you a call asking for answers, Stephen. Okay, just for people listening, NRLW, the Warriors have the Raiders this weekend. In Auckland Rugby League, Otahuhu versus Bay Roskill, expect an Otahuhu win. Manukau versus Mount Albert. Manukau are on flying form, and they should get the win. Papakura versus Ponsonby. This one's a tough one. I think Papakura have it. Marist Saints versus Point Chef. Point Chef still trying to get into the top four. The Steel Shanks, Mangere East should beat Mount Albert. Manukau over Otahuhu, and Mangere over Richmond. Stephen, thank you so much for making yourself available today, and have a good weekend.
My pleasure, mate. Get a coffee and enjoy the sun.
Good on you, man. Take care. Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, Evan. Cheers.
Cheers. That was Stephen McIver. Fantastic, wasn't he? He was good. So we move on to our next guest, and we're all go here this morning on the Sports Weekender, aren't we? So we'll just get to our next guest after I do a promo. Finding the right people, this is brought to you by Enterprise Recruitment. Finding the right people can be hard. So many unexpected surprises. So get out those unexpected surprises by contacting Enterprise Recruitment, where they will find you the right candidate to suit your business need. So contact enterprise.co.nz and they will find you the right person. Here to join us from One News on the week that was and the weekend ahead, Broden Nucky. G'day, Broden. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good morning, mate. Thank you very much for having me back.
Well, you're more than welcome. Well, the Giant Slayer's on holiday, you know. He's probably jealous that Tim Payne got more hits on Instagram than he did. So,
that's true. I mean, he put in some hard yards over there. So
he did, actually.
To see him enjoying himself a little bit as well.
Anyway, let's have a look at last week. Well, it all started last week. The first test of the Dave Rennie era, All Blacks over France. What a hell of a match it was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I sort of said it to my flatmates. I felt like a kid again. I was like, we were watching an All Blacks team that was unafraid to run the ball and you know, just sort of backing themselves from anywhere. You got that real indication early when we had that early yellow card and we had the penalty. And, you know, a lot of the time these days, you know, you're down a man, you get three points on offer out front, you take the three. But we kick for the corner, we stay down, then we get an early try. And that, to me, really sort of set the tone for what this team's looking to do. They're going to back themselves. They're going to run the ball. And I think I was reading somewhere this week that the statistics say that, you know, on average, under the previous regime, we kicked 32 times in general play in the last couple of years, and then at the weekend we had 17. So that gives you a real indication of where this team is and what they want to do, and hopefully we see more of that tonight against Italy.
Absolutely. And then we move on to Sunday. Well, the NRLW started, and our Waz Wahine, well, they were fantastic over the Bulldogs.
Oh, they were. I get a real special feeling about this group, having gone out to see them a couple of times in the preseason. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the members that they've brought in terms of the likes of Gail Broughton, Meili Hufanga, Stacey Walker, you know, proven champions already, coming from that Broncos side from last year. But it's what they've brought in off the field as well, which I think is going to be huge for the squad. You know, a lot of those girls last year were getting their first taste of professional rugby league. And these ones coming in, they've been pros for a long time. And so you've got that real nice mix of enthusiastic energy from the young ones versus these seasoned pros who are now going to show them, you know, what they need to do week in and week out, the little one percenters. And yeah, I think that first result really gives you an indication of just how quality the squad's going to be this season.
Absolutely. And then Liam Lawson does what Liam Lawson does. He defies the critics, and he's been doing it this season so brilliantly. Double points over the weekend, points in the sprints, but sixth place in the British Grand Prix at Silverstone.
It's just been such a pleasure to see him finally not have any dramas to worry about. I mean, you think his first taste was during the Daniel Ricciardo situation, so there was a whole bunch of distractions there. Then obviously last year was just a an absolute circus with Red Bull and his promotion and demotion and everything else. And this year, he knows the team he's in. He knows the car that he's in. And he's just out there racing. And he's getting results. He's getting points. He's right in the mix there in terms of, you know, that best of the rest standings. I think it's him versus one of the Alpine boys in terms of, you know, the best out of outside those top four teams. And he is. He's just getting consistent results. And it's such a pleasure to see that a kid with so much potential is finally getting to show it and just not have to worry about the noise away from the track.
Absolutely. So, and it's the old Moneyball theory. When they used to speak, he gets on base. Mm-hmm. He scores points.
That's right.
And he scores points and he scores
points. Can he get
points.
On base?
Yep. Yeah. Hey, anyway, let's get into it. Well, before we go into the World Cup week that's ended, three of the host nations are out. Brazil is out. Portugal are out. Controversy. Many felt that Egypt were denied. And of course, then we have a look at, yesterday and today with France over Morocco, Spain over Belgium.
Yeah, I mean, you're sort of getting to the business end now, and so it starts to feel less like upsets and more like, you know, just titans clashing. But, I mean, you acknowledge there, Norway for me has kind of been the Cinderella story. They play England tomorrow, I believe. And, you know, just watching their fans, and obviously Haaland is world class, but he's one man, you know, in a game of 11-on-11. But the way he's able to manipulate games and manipulate himself into positions to give them a chance has just been really fun for me to watch. So, yeah, look, I still think if we boil it completely down, I still think we're going to end up with a rematch. I think we're going to get France-Argentina in the final. I really enjoyed Norway. I think they've been the Cinderella of this tournament, and I'd really like to see them. Maybe I'll have a few people that won't be happy with it. I would really like to see them get one over England tomorrow and just see how far they can go in this World Cup.
Yeah, you might have a few that would be on your side. I'm actually hoping England win, and I know I'm going to get a lot of crap over this, but for the simple reason, 60 years on from 66, wouldn't that be great? That's more of a sentimental type value in this. But, yeah, I look forward to both of those games. I think if it's a France-Argentina final, I think France win. They're the best team there by a country mile. But I would have to say that I actually think England would struggle. I think Argentina might struggle against England or Norway. That's my view.
It's one of those old sporting cliches almost where I wonder if England played their best game against Mexico just because of the occasion it was and everything they had to do to get up for that game. You know, it's hard to get up again in such a short turnaround. As I say, I'll be happy with whoever wins tomorrow, but I've just really enjoyed the Cinderella story, I guess, of Norway, who were just happy to be at the World Cup and notch their first win. And now here they are knocking on the door of a potential semi-final.
Oh, and their fans have been outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Yeah. Anyway, we talk a bit of state of write Nathan Cleary off at your peril. Him and Ethan Strange tore apart that Queensland side.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And what I liked afterwards is, you know, you had Laurie Daly coming out. You had some of those boys coming out, and they had the receipts ready. They, you know, a lot of people had written them off and said they had no chance going to Suncorp, and they put in a performance like that. Were Queensland at their best? Absolutely not. But New South Wales still had to go out there and win that. And as you say, to question the brilliance of Nathan Cleary, well, he just showed you again why he is one of the best. You know, so. I tip my hat. You know, I think New South Wales went out there and put on the performance that they could be proud of and that deserved to win the State of Origin Series.
And, of course, Wimbledon, well, there's been a few upsets in the women's draw, an old Czech final. And, of course, last night, Novak Djokovic out of the tournament, and Arthur Ferry's fairy tale ended at the hands of Alexander Zverev. So it's a Sinner Zverev final.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once again, Ferry was such an exciting thing to get behind. I mean, to watch him progress the way he did. But, you know, Zverev and Sinner, they're the top seeds for a reason. They've been all class for, you know, this entire year, really. So I really hope that one's going to be another cracking final. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I know Zverev's struggled in the past, but I'd really back him to want to get one up over Sinner. And then in terms of the all Czechia final, I mean, I don't think anyone would have been expecting that at the start of the week. So, you know, may the best lady win.
Well, I usually I'm able to pronounce the names because usually I get Jeff Simpson usually comes on for our Grand Slams, former Davis, and usually I let Jeff do all the talking on that, but this time I can pronounce them because, believe me, anyway, Warriors 32, Tigers 6.
Yeah, no, the scoreline's great, but I think the Warriors will be the first ones to say there were still passages in that game last night where they sort of let the foot off the gas, or they were making mistakes that they wouldn't want in terms of the standards they set themselves. I mean, there were two early opportunities there that they put the ground near the goal line. There was a couple opportunities in their second half as well. But at the end of the day, 2 points is 2 points. They'll come away from Campbelltown over there, you know, happy to get the result. But I also know that, yeah, having spoken to Webby on multiple times after a big game or a big win, that they'll still have, immediate things that they'll want to address at this week's training. But I should also just add as well, how great to see Fisher-Harris back, and Alofiana Khan-Pereira, I think, was another one last night coming back. Those two guys stood out for me, and young Laban as well.
Oh, Laban was outstanding, mate. He was outstanding.
Laban was outstanding. But also, yeah, just to see Fisher-Harris and Khan-Pereira back out there as well and straight into their work. Great to see those guys come back and really show what this team can do after a rough patch there with injuries that we've had.
Absolutely. Okay, so look, obviously big news, Israel Adesanya is leaving City Kickboxing Gym. Really, it doesn't surprise me. Izzy has not been in New Zealand for a while. He's in and out, so the connection has ended. I think they were pretty good for him. Good luck in his future endeavours. The weekend ahead, All Blacks, Sicily. We've got Wimbledon. We've got the Warriors, Wahine. We've got the World Cup. What a great weekend. What are you looking forward to at the weekend?
Obviously I'm looking forward again to seeing how this All Blacks side goes against Italy this afternoon, but also looking ahead to Black Caps starting their ODI series against West Indies. Great to see Duffy back in the mix in the bowling attack. Great to see a couple of promotions for some of the other guys as well to get a chance with the white ball. So really looking forward to seeing what they can do against the West Indies, who, you know, can always be a bit of a hard one to figure out. So, no, I think that the kickoff of that series tomorrow will be a good one to watch out for as well.
Absolutely. Well, Broden, I hope the weekend goes well. Thank you so much for making yourself available today. And definitely have to catch up for a coffee. Really always enjoy our chats, and hopefully we can do it sooner.
No, absolutely. Thank you again for having me, and to you and to all your listeners. Manawatia, Matariki, have a fantastic long weekend and enjoy yourself.
Thank you very much, and I hope your Matariki as your weekend's going down well down the line.
Thank you very much, mate.
Cheers, thanks. That was Broden Nucky from One News Sports, and I have to say, always enjoy a bit of a chat with Broden. So next up, we're gonna chat a bit of football with former All White Fred De Jong.
Feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. It's 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 coming on.
Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now, time for me is nothing cause I'm counting no A's. Nah, I couldn't be there. Nah, you shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs and I'm under each snare. Intangible, bet you didn't think so. I command you to panoramic view. Look, I'll make it all manageable. Pick and choose, sit and lose. All you different crews, chicks and dudes. Who you think is really kicking tunes? Picture you getting down in a pigeon tube. Like you lit the fuse. You think it's fictional, mystical, maybe.
spiritual hero who appears in you to clear your view when you're too crazy. Lifeless to those, the definition for what life is. Priceless to you because I put you on the high shit. You like it? Gun smoke, you're righteous with one toke. You're psychic among no possess you with one go.
Hey, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, not for long. The future is coming on. Hey,
welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Just before we go to our next guest, if you're looking to buy, you're looking to sell, you're looking just to get onto that Auckland property market, looking for the best result for selling, looking for someone to guide you through the purchasing, or just that good bit of free advice, then these are the two people you need to contact. It's Robert and Deborah Thompson from Team Thompson. They operate out of the Barford and Thompson office in the Epsom branch. Now, I've known both of them for a very, very long time. I know people that have actually had, Robert has helped purchase their first house, and I also know people who have sold their property, and Robert and Deborah have got them the best results, and they're both very good at guiding you through when you're looking to get on this Auckland property market. So if you want to give Robert a call, his number is 021 737 949. If you can't get hold of Robert, give Deborah a call, 021 673 600. I hope everything's all okay, Robert, at the moment. So yeah, anyway, here to join us is as we usually have the big guy Seamus Martin. He's away at the moment, but here to join us is former All White and former TV commentator Fred Dionne. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, mate. How's it going?
Excellent, mate. Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, I think if you're heading down any bar that's selling Stella, I'd advise you to keep away from it at the moment. So maybe go for a Spanish beer. But just when we look at this World Cup tournament, many are saying it's the best I've ever seen. I'm 50-50 on it. What I can say so far is that the best players have come to the fore. The Mbappes, the Messis, the Harry Kanes, the Erling Haalands, the Dembélés, you know, the Bellinghams. These players have really come to the fore. What's been your thoughts on the tournament in general?
Yeah, I think the cream always rises to the top, doesn't it? Typically at the tournament, you get the odd shock. Last time we saw Morocco go all the way to the semi-finals, that was a bit of a surprise. But through the whole tournament, the big nations really shine through. The ones with the deeper squads really are the ones who can get over the line at the end. And by the look of it now, you've got a France, obviously, well, you've got a France-Spain semi-final. On the other side, possibly England versus Argentina will are favoured to get through to the semis. Those are the top four ranked nations in the world. So, you know, there's no argument that in that regard that these teams are finding a way to win, especially in the tight games. As for the tournament overall, it's been a good tournament. I think it's been there's been some things that obviously some things are brilliant. I think how they've cut out a whole bunch of the time wasting. Like the feigning of injury and then having trainers come on and all that palaver, that's disappeared now, which has been fantastic. That's been probably the best evolution in this tournament. Getting subs off quickly in 10 seconds, really good. And so these things will get probably updated and refined over time, but a really positive step. The crowds have been great, obviously. Negatives, I think, from the tournament, You can take the hydration break and shove it. I'm sorry.
Yes. Thank you.
Just the hydration break is a disaster. Just when you're sitting down, you're watching the game, the flow of the game, and a team's in ascendancy, and then you got to stop. And then, of course, and then so many times, especially early on in the tournament, we've seen countries just lose that momentum and because of the break. Which has been really disappointing. So absolutely, hopefully when the World Cup goes to a European country, to Spain, Portugal, next cycle, although it is Morocco, Uruguay, and Argentina, I think it is, as well. But, you know, hopefully the Spanish stand up and go, no, we're not having the breaks in between. The other thing that has been super disappointing, and obviously the USA red card is the political interference and the way FIFA has allowed that to come into the tournament. And I think that's really, really poor, really poor, and a real error of judgment, because now there's a whole bunch of things that are being questioned unnecessarily. And so, yeah, but overall, I think the tournament's been good. The football's been good. And hopefully we can just, the remaining quarterfinals and then the semifinals final, hopefully we can see a bunch of goals being scored.
Absolutely. Well, we look at the quarterfinals and we look at France. They were just too good for Morocco, and of course Spain. 2-1 over Belgium, and an absolute howler at the end by the Belgium goalkeeper.
Yeah. I mean, he comes on for 20 minutes probably, and you know, costs his side the game, which is not a great World Cup from his perspective. But yeah, I mean, Spain were better. Spain dominated the game, had created more of the chances. But I thought, you know, Belgium, the goal they scored was a lovely goal, the header by Ketelaar. In the end, I mean, again, it's a depth of player. As the game goes on and Spain are subbing, you know, you see, because obviously nowadays you're subbing five subs, so half the team's been changed out. So the depth of your squad becomes very, very important. And you know, the players that Spain can bring on compared to the players that Belgium can bring on, the strength of the Spanish team doesn't drop as far as it does for the Belgians. And so you know, we saw that. The classic example of that is the French side. And when you see guys like Barcola coming on off the bench, and you go, "Whoa!" You know, he would start any other game, any other team in the tournament. And so, you know, that the riches that Didier Deschamps has, and at his disposal, and that rightly makes France the favourite at this point.
Absolutely. So we move on to the other two quarterfinals. Obviously, England versus Norway. I think the attention will be on that. Argentina versus Switzerland. I'm just going to go to that. I know that Argentina have looked at times convincing. At times they've looked not the same Argentina side. Without Lionel Messi, and I'm going to be straight to the point, I think Lionel Messi is the key to, it would be the key in anyone's side, no matter how old he is. He becomes the key. But the Swiss have shown us they've got resilience.
Yeah, they have. And you saw that against in the Colombia game. You know, I think Colombia had a couple of really good chances they missed. And Switzerland went all the way through to penalties, and then the Swiss, obviously, stronger in the penalty shootout. They tipped over Algeria 2-0. They've had a very, very strong campaign. Not a flashy side by any stretch of the imagination. Not a side stacked with, you know, star players, but you know, a good solid collective European team, and they're getting the job done. Can they do it one more time against, or can they do it again against Argentina? Remains to be seen. I think you're right. I mean, Messi's the key to the Argentinian team. When the going gets tough, you know, they look to him to break the game open. And we saw that against Egypt. They're 2-0 down. They're looking like they're going out. There's 15, 20 minutes to play. And, you know, he sets up the first one, rifles the second one in on the underside of the bar, you know, and then obviously they find a way to win the game in normal time. So, he's the catalyst for stuff to happen. And it'll be interesting because I think at the end of this World Cup, so many sort of great players finishing. You see Messi finish, you see Ronaldo finish, De Bruyne will go now, Lukaku will go, these sorts of players. And what that will do to those national sides over the next 3 or 4 years, how can they replace these players? That'll be interesting to watch in the coming years.
Absolutely, and of course, England, Norway. Well, this is, I think, it's this one is a tough one to call. I think England, after their victory over Mexico, I think this is a shot on the arm for them.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Mexican game, they were Mexico gave them a really good run. But I mean, it's a hell of a place to play in the Azteca.
Oh, yeah. But,
you know, it's 85, I think it is, 1,000, screaming Mexicans. I was there for when New Zealand played there in the Intercontinental Playoff. And it's daunting. It's a daunting place. It's at high altitude. So it's a tough place to come in, play, and win. And I think the stats were they'd lost one game or two games there in 80, something like that. So, I mean, for England, that was a fantastic victory. And they'll take a lot of positives out of that. I think they'll be too strong for Norway. Yes, they've got Erling Haaland, and obviously that's where all the focus is. And he's a fantastic finisher. But I do think England will dominate the game. And if they can score first, then I think they'll go on and win the game.
Absolutely. Well, we look at Auckland FC. They've Philippe Gagos has re-signed. Louis Vistrata has come off contract. Rumour is that he could be heading towards Japan, possibly Yokohama Mariners.
That's not a surprise, is it?
No, not at all. He might know the coach there.
He might have a good in with the coach. I mean, it's. I think the all the sides in the A-League are going to grapple with the new salary cap. So they're moving to a hard salary cap of $3 million Australian dollars. And that's going to be tough. That'll be tough for the management of each of the clubs to manage their squad under that salary cap. So I think what you'll see is a bunch of players, expensive players, leave their clubs. And Vistrata wasn't cheap, so obviously they'll move on. And I think what you'll end up with a lot of squads now, and also with the salary cap, they've taken away all the exemptions. There used to be five or six exemptions for the salary cap, and now there's only one. You can have one marquee player that sits outside the cap, so that's going to be massively important as well. So squads will struggle to keep their existing players under that cap, and I think what you'll probably see is strong. The starting 11s of a lot of teams will be strong, and then there'll be a whole bunch of kids on the bench. And for the A-League, I think that'll mean overall the A-League will get weaker, which is not great.
Absolutely. Then we move on to Northern League. This is a week. These are the games in the Northern League men's. Tauranga versus Auckland FC Reserves. Melville versus Bay Olympic. Fencibles versus East Coast Bays. And that one's it's going to be an interesting one. Birkenhead versus Auckland United. Birkenhead, premiers in waiting. Western Springs versus Eastern Suburbs. Manukau versus Auckland United. I look at some of these games and I've looked at this Northern League. Obviously, I can see Tauranga probably just been too good for Auckland FC Reserves. Melville versus Bay Olympic, I just see as a draw all day, Fred.
Yep. I think you're right there. I think when you look at the matchups, most of them are teams playing the teams next to them.
Yeah.
Like you say. But as far as having an influence on the bearing on the top of the table,
no.
I think the key game is the East Coast Bay Fences game.
Yeah, I think that's a key one. And whoever wins there or gets the results there, they can probably reassure themselves or come very close to reassuring themselves of a National League place for this year's National League.
Yeah, especially if East Coast Bay wins that, I think then there's a break. You know, they'll have a gap of five points on the chase on the pack behind them, which will be which should see them through with about six games to go.
Yeah, and when you talk about it, even Auckland City, there, even, you know, you look at some of the games like Birkenhead will probably beat Auckland United. Eastern Suburbs should be too good for Western Springs. Auckland City should be too good for Manukau. That one, Fences versus East Coast Base, that one's too hard to pick. I'm going to go for a draw on this one. Fred, I just think there's just they're too close there, mate.
Yeah, most likely. I think it's at River Hills.
Yes.
Interesting place to go and play now with the turf there out at River Hills. very slick turf, I got to say. So, it's certainly for Finchie, they get a bit of an advantage from playing at home now.
Oh, it's all that Rich Howick money, mate. That's all it is. Hey, well, just two games this week in the Northern League women's. FC Tauranga Moana, who've really struggled, will take on Eastern Suburbs. I think Eastern Suburbs will be too good now. I'm putting you on the spot because the man that usually does this part of the show supports Melville United, Seamus Martin. And of course, you're involved. You're the coaching director of football at Ellerslie AFC. So usually what Seamus does, because if he sees it's going to be 50-50, he tends to say, I'll just take a draw because he can never back against his team. I'm going to say that you're going to bet the away side to win this one.
Absolutely, mate. Ellerslie won that. 3 points. I do have a vested interest in that.
You've got a horse in the race here. Good on you. Yeah. It's been interesting. Obviously, Auckland United really are ahead of the game. Looks like they're going to probably win the AFC Women's League and represent Oceania at the Women's Club World Cup. So that's going to be fantastic. We go into the semi-finals next week at the World Cup and potentially on the following Monday, the World Cup final. And then we're not too far away from Auckland FC playing Tottenham Hotspur and a Auckland FC Women's selection playing Chelsea.
Yeah, a lot of football going on at the moment, which is great. And I mean, it's been wall to wall games with the World Cup. You know, now it starts to slow down, obviously. But you know, up until now, there's been one. I think Thursday last Thursday was the first day when there was no games in the World Cup. So, I mean, honestly, so much football in the last 4 weeks. It's been fantastic. And hopefully, some of it with things go the way of the New Zealand teams and the club sides and that over the next week or so, or next few weeks. But it's been a really great time to be a football lover.
Absolutely, and of course, you might have the next World Cup. You might have more football to watch because they're talking about taking it to 56 teams.
I think
48 is the maximum. I don't believe they should go any further.
32 should be the maximum, mate. 32 should be the maximum.
Well,
I do hate the third place playoff scenario. I think it just, everyone goes, there's been so many upsets and so many, you see teams like Cape Verde coming through and Paraguay doing this and DR Congo and Egypt winning for the first time. Well, of course you are, because the level of the competition is weaker because there's 48 instead of 32 teams. So you go to 64 teams. And yes, from a draw perspective, it's better, but too bloated and, too many games, too long, so I hope that common sense prevails there.
Oh, well, we hope so, but it is FIFA we're talking about here, Fred. I don't want to be...
It'll be the money, mate.
I remember when, obviously, when Infantino came to New Zealand and somebody described him, he's the emperor who doesn't realise he's left his clothes behind. So, yeah.
Pretty close, mate. Yeah. There's some dubious decisions going on in world football at the moment.
Oh, you're kidding me. That wasn't a red card, Fred. Anyway, we better finish off before I get a slap on the hand from FIFA. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot, Fred. Fantastic. That was great, Fred Geong. So next up, we're going to talk a bit of tennis with Jeff Simpson. Hold on, we'll just give us a second.
So I saw the play, and I'm a person that loves sports and was a good athlete, and I understand sports.
Okay, sorry, we'll just get to some music right now.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee. Muffins in the eye, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money. But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. It's been a good show so far. Wow, we come to what has been a quite good Wimbledon tournament. And here to chat to us, he's the former Davis Cup captain, known as the godfather of New Zealand tennis, and an absolute tremendous bloke. Good morning to Jeff Simpson. How are you?
Good, Eamon. Thank you very much for that lovely intro.
Well, yes. And if you can send me your bank, I'll send you my bank account details later on. Anyway, let's get into it. Obviously, last night we went to the men's semis, and Alexander Zverev ended the fairy tale of Arthur Ferry in three sets, and then Jannik Sinner was, while he didn't have it all his own way, was very clinical in a three sets over Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, I think the first match, I think when we saw Zverev playing Ferry, it was, Zverev's a different player now since he's won that, the French Open. He seems to have more confidence. He's walking around, he's smiling the whole time. He just feels a lot better about himself. And, he is playing very, very well. He's finally really getting into the court, he's trying to get into the court. He's got one of the best backhands, especially cross court, that I think I've ever seen. And I think it was just a matter of when he played him, it was kind of like bullets, beat speed, he couldn't really, he tried really hard and he played very well. He just couldn't, he couldn't outrun those bullets. And I think that's what it was. It was just power, he just overpowered him. And he did it in a very sort of clinical way, just went about his business quite methodically. And just the confidence is kind of oozing from him a little bit more now. And it's good to see. It's good to see that he's backed up that French Open win and he's into the final of Wimbledon. He's never really passed. I don't think he's passed the 16th before. I thought the match would have been a little bit tighter, but he just completely dominated him as well, although Fritz said he did have a bit of a sore knee. But, I don't think it was going to make much of a difference the way he was playing. So he's going into the final playing really, really well. And obviously with Sinner and Djokovic, that was sort of, and it was just that one extra class up, hit the ball just a little bit harder, a little bit flatter, got into the court, was playing right inside the baseline and just taking all Novak's time away. And, once the point went over three or four shots where, had Novak running from side to side, it was all over for Novak, Unfortunately, he just couldn't find any way to penetrate him. And he served 88% first serve, which is pretty phenomenal. So he's going into the final, I think, playing at his best. I think, the way he played that one was against Djokovic was another level up from the quarterfinal. So you know, we're in for a good battle. I think Sinner, obviously being a winner at Wimbledon and Zareva's first time in the final, I'd probably have to go with Sinner. Because I think he returns really, really well, and he just plays up inside the baseline a little bit further. And the ball's just coming at them. You know, it's just so hard to withstand that, you know, that barrage all the time, you know.
Absolutely. Well, and then we go to the women's final tonight. It's an all Czech Republic final.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Listen, because people were saying to me, like when Martina was at her best and Hannah Mananikova was there, we were saying, well, wasn't that all an all Czech? But just remember, Martina Navratilova was representing the United States at that point. So, yes.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
So exactly right.
Yeah. So it's Noskova in the 9th seed versus Muchova, the 10th seed. Now, I'll let you pronounce that, Jeff, because I apologise.
Well.
I apologise because every time we have a look at a name, I have to ring up Jeff. How do I pronounce this? How do I pronounce without butchering it on here? So, yeah.
No, you did very well. Muchova and Noskova. You know, that's pretty good. Well, I think, you know, we saw Muchova. She's 29 now, and she's promised a lot. She's a phenomenal athlete, and she plays really, really smart. Grass is the best surface because she can slice, and she's got a double-handed backhand, but she's also got a single-handed slice. She moves like a dream. She serves really well, and probably would have to be the favourite going in because she has been, you know, to a final before for Grand Slam. And she's coming off, I think she's, in the last 15 matches, she's lost only one. So she is playing, you know, very well, and she's a little bit more experienced. And her game is, you know, I was watching it the other day, and I thought, wow, she plays very similar to Roger Federer. You know, she's got that nice eloquence and that nice easy movement. So, you know, she played very well to beat Grassi's golf. I mean, she was... you know, that match point down, and we've all seen the shot that she missed, golf, but, and it could have gone either way, but, she came through, and, she deserves her place in the final, that's for sure. Noskova, was very, very clinical against, Koskovic, and, beat a 4-4, and I think, probably going into that match, Koskovic was probably the favourite, but Noskova played very surgeon-like, very, very precise, and she's got a great temperament for a 21-year-old, and she thinks she can win. You know, that's the big thing. She thinks she can win, and she's very, very confident in her ability, and you can see that on the court. But it is her first time into a Grand Slam final, but just looking at her and seeing the way she acts and the way she talks, she's definitely got a big chance, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if she, you know, won that match, even though she's 21 and she hasn't got quite the experience that Muchova has. I think it's going to be a great match, and it certainly wouldn't surprise me if she won.
Absolutely. Then we go to the men's final. Well, it's 1-2, Sinner versus Zarev. I think this one is a very, very tight one to call. And I can see it going 5 sets, Jeff.
Yeah, I think they both serve very well, but, you know, with just watching Sinner serve at the moment, he's going to be going a lot wider to Zarev's forehand, although Zarev's forehand has improved a lot. He'll open him up that way. The ball will be coming to Zarev because he wouldn't have felt the speed of the ball, coming through his side of the draw. He wouldn't have felt that speed that ball will be coming at him. His forehand probably, Sinner's forehand is better. The backhand would have to, you know, they're both very good, but the backhand would probably have to go to Zarev. Sinner seems a little bit more confident around the net, although Zarev's coming in, but he just doesn't seem to have quite the confidence. Sinner moves faster. I just feel, just looking at it, if I'm going to have a bet, I would probably go with Sinner. So.
Yeah, I think you possibly will be. I suppose you would have to go over centre, but you know, you're right. Zverev has really gained that confidence from that French Open victory.
Yeah.
He looks sharp. Him and Senna have looked the best out of the guys, and Zverev really looks like he's not really been challenged during this tournament.
No, he hasn't, and that's what I mean. You know, Senna had that tough five better to get out of that. He's 2 sets to 1 down, and I think that did him the world of good. And each match, he just progressively got, you know, better and better. And then against Djokovic last night, I was watching, I think he went up another level, you know, because Djokovic is playing well too. You can't take that away from Djokovic. But Sinner's level was just up a little bit higher, and, you know, he just gets that ball a little bit earlier, and he hits it flatter, you know. And so on the grass, you look at him, you know, you look at him, he's very low when he's hitting that ball, he's getting under it, and he's able to hit it, you know, flat like that, and yeah, he just moves like a gazelle, you know. So, you know, Zverev could, you know, there's no question he could beat him, but he's going to have to be playing at the top of his game, and, you know, this is probably his best chance that he's had, because he's coming in with a lot of confidence, Zverev. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to that match, and as you said, possibly could be a five-setter.
Yeah, I think it will be. Well, Jeff, I have to say, every time we'll probably be speaking once we come up to the US Open, but I always enjoy our preview and our reviews of the final, and I always enjoy your voice of wisdom and your knowledge, Jeff. It's outstanding.
Okay. Thank you very much, Damon.
No, it's not a problem at all, and we hope we can talk soon.
Okay, then.
Cheers.
See you. Bye.
Jeff Simpson, absolutely brilliant, isn't he? He's just absolutely brilliant. Anyway, next up, we'll get on to our panel. It's Brendan Telfer, and the man, the legend, Mark Watson.
How many special people change? Living strange. Where were you while we were getting high? Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a shadow.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. Well, we come to the final part of the show, the panel. Just before we go to the panel, if you're looking for a beer, you're looking for your local Amandine, or looking for somewhere to eat, somewhere to have a drink just before going to a concert at Eden Park, if you're just getting off the once the CRL opens, the Mungify Station, which will only be about less than a car away from the Horse and Trap, it's your local Amandine, and they're based at 3 Enfield Street, Manteedon. Now, I can tell you a bit about it. They have daily food and drink specials. I have to say the food quality is brilliant, the drinks are good, and the customer service is even better. And they've probably got one of the best function rooms in Auckland, which is accessible for everyone. And believe me, if you're looking to have an event down there, a wedding, 21st, 30th, 40th, in many cases, probably a 60th in my case, but so give them a call. Their number is 09630 3055, or you can email them info@horseandtrap.co.nz. Well, we come to the panel. On line one, live from China, the man, the legend, Mark Watson. Morning, Mark.
Morning. Yep, morning to you, Eamon. Morning to your listeners.
Morning. And on line two, an icon in New Zealand sports broadcasting, Brendan Telfer. How are you?
Good morning, Eamon. I'm fine. And where is Mark in China? On one of his cycling expeditions, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, he certainly is. He can, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm over here in a city called Xining, which is up in the north of China, Brendan. We're at currently 7,500 feet above sea level. Xining is a city of 2.5 million. We're here for a UCI World Pro Tour cycling event, which has about 150 riders, about 20-something different trade teams, including the likes of Kofidis, Astana, Uskoteli Stadi. In fact, Aaron Gate rode this race last year.
Wow.
Not very good scheduling, is it, to have it on against the Tour de France?
Oh, look, there's also the Tour of Austria on at the moment. So, look, most of these professional trade teams have about 20-odd riders. 8 get chosen for the Tour. And then it's like a bit like the tennis circuit. You're out accumulating points all year. Top 18 teams in the world are World Tour. Next 18 teams in the world, when it's all said and done, as the Pro Tour. So, yeah, always having to send riders somewhere to race, but like the tennis circuit, really.
Absolutely. Anyway, well, let's move on to it. All Blacks versus Italy tonight, 5:10 p.m. Also, last week, the All Blacks 34, France 32. What was your impressions of the first test match of the Dave Rennie era, Mark?
Oh, look, I mean, it was... Yeah, look, there were a lot of good things. I thought defensively, yeah, we've got to obviously tighten up in that area. You know, I think at times we just tried to play too much rugby. I think you sort of, you know, I always like to see teams still just go back to the basics, win the battle up front, earn the right to go wide. And it was a bit helter-skelter at times. I just felt we needed to be a bit more direct on the odd occasion. And, you know, I think to go top gear, you've sometimes got to drop down a gear. But look, I think there's more what we see today and in the test against Ireland to see if we've sort of, you know, made those improvements. You know, and if we have in fact taken on, I guess, some of the, not criticism, but obviously some of the analysis that would have been provided by all the coaches. But look, yeah, defensively really disappointing last week. But yeah, that's sort of a somewhat of a strange team when it was named, I guess. I mean, there seemed to be so many players out of position. And I thought, oh, here we go, just trying to get the best players on the park again. And yeah, and so... Still not convinced, you know, we still obviously got issues there in midfield, and I think we're starting to sort of establish our tight five, and I don't think we've got any issues there. The makeup of the loose forward trio is probably still another area of discussion. I see Tupu Vyse back tonight, and you know, there is talk Dave Rennie does want to play him actually at six at some point. So yeah, look, but yeah, I mean, we'll talk about that. I'm sure we'll talk about the Italian game tonight in a moment. But yeah, all in all, I mean, what I want from my team, I just want my All Black team to win. That's the first thing. Just win. You know, I'm not into this development stuff or this. You know, every test is important, and we're the All Blacks and we expect to win.
Absolutely. What was your thoughts on last week, Brendan?
Well, the first thing was I was absolutely delighted to see that we have, I hope, established a break from the past, that this endless kicking, which is plagued, I think, All Black rugby and Blues rugby, for that matter, for the last couple of years. And, you know, you inevitably have to point the finger here at Beauden Barrett, who's not the player that he was, and so he relies heavily on kicking. It's almost his default position. I see the number of kicks in that match last week was the second lowest of all of the, I think, what, six matches that took place in the first round of this Nations Championship. And I think it was nicely summed up by Sevier after the game, when he talked about an optimistic brand of rugby they're trying to play. They've returned basically to the basics of rugby. It's a running and a passing game, and I love that. I enjoyed it. I was pleased that the All Blacks won, because it is this new world of rugby now, where every match counts amongst the top 12 anyway countries in the world. And it was refreshing. It was attacking rugby. Yes, they leaked a couple of tries, which Dave Reddy's touched on during the week. I'm sure they can fix that up. But I'm intrigued by this Italian side. I don't quite know what's happening here with this Italian team. They got beaten. I saw some of the match last week. It was live here on television. And they looked pretty ordinary, and Japan beat them quite comfortably. Okay, we know Japan have improved a lot in recent years, due in some major part, I imagine, to the number of foreign players, including New Zealanders, playing up there. But it was odd to see that the team that earlier this year had beaten both England and Scotland in the Six Nations was beaten by Japan. So whether they were just holding back some of their key players for this match tonight, I don't know. We'll find out. And certainly it's a strong team. I think the strongest team they have on paper. But I just hope the All Blacks continue with this attacking brand of rugby. The two key components for me are Love and Roygaard, the combination from the Hurricanes. And they like to play attacking rugby. And Roygaard, I think, by the end of this year, may well be the best halfback in world rugby. He might be close to that position now. So it'll be very interesting to see how this match unfolds and what Italy brings to the table.
Mark, your thoughts on the Italian match?
Yeah, look, just saying what Brendan says, I actually think Cam Roygaard is probably the most important player in the All Blacks. I think there's daylight between him and the players behind him, with the greatest respect to the likes of Cortez, Rasma and stuff. And yeah, it's funny how important that halfback position's become now, and how important he is to our game plan. Look, yeah, the All Black side they've picked, actually, if you look at this All Black side on paper, particularly the starting lineup, it's almost close to full strength if you look at the tight five. I mean, you know, you still obviously got Fabian Holland and a few players out injured to come back in, but Tupu Vai now coming back in alongside of Sam Dowry. Dowry was brilliant last week. You've got your sort of, I guess, that front row that has almost established itself as the starting front row. Wallace Atiti back into the loose forwards as well. And Luke Jacobson giving another opportunity. And, you know, I'm not a fan of Jacobson, but to be fair, he stepped up last week and was superb. But, you know, if you're going to be the man, you've got to be the man every week. And so, you know, he's got to continue to build on that. Yeah, I like the idea of Reuben Love. You know, people say that his kicking game's not great, but again, I just don't think the game plan last week was to kick so much. So I think he's a good touch finder when he needs to. And I think if you go out wide, Billy Proctor, I think, does deserve his chance again. It may be disappointing last year in the All Blacks, but was that part of the coaching environment? Was that just part of that whole, maybe the inability for Scott Robertson's communication to really get messages through at times? And the reality is, he's obviously got to be a very good centre, because Fianga Nofo and Josh Morby both scored 17 tries, a record number in Super Rugby. Now, you can't score those tries without a good centre. And then I guess if you go and look at the back three, Damien McKenzie, he a little shaky last week, I thought. But, you know, but he is a guy that can break out from anywhere. And that's one thing Dave Rennie's talked about. You know, you mentioned that word optimism. You know, I heard him in an interview saying, look, if we're 15 metres from the line, we still want to be thinking, how can we score from here? And I like that approach, but at times it still has to be a bit measured tonight. It can't just be helter-skelter all the time, because we saw last week we had a lot of ball and then suddenly we'd knock it on or lose it forward. And I just wonder where the sides will go, you know what, these guys can do this all they want. At some point they are going to make a mistake with what they are trying to do. So I just think tonight I just want to see us being just a little bit more measured at times.
Absolutely. So we move on to the World Cup. And, of course, Brendan, you and I have been having a chat about this. There's been 23 World Cups. Now, Brendan hasn't seen all 23, but in the World Cups you've seen in your lifetime, Brendan, has this been one of the best?
Absolutely. I don't think there's much doubt about that. In fact, I'm having these ongoing discussions with my inner self about whether this is the best sporting event I have ever seen. I mean, I think most people would agree that the two biggest events in sport are the Olympic Games and Football World Cup, with all due respect to the many other exceptionally good events around the place as well. But for me, this every single match that I watch is just compelling. And I must confess, I was one of the critics who questioned the wisdom of the idea of extending this World Cup from 32 to 48. I thought, I know, 48 teams, that's too many. But it was an inspired move by the FIFA, because even all of those games in that first round were played in front of capacity houses, and all of those minnows, if you like, of which the All Whites are one of them, seemed to lift their games for this World Cup. And since then, it's been amazing. I mean, BBC have started a discussion group going on BBC Sport about whether this is the greatest Football World Cup of all time. And they've come up with some really interesting figures. The average crowd for every match, and I think we've now had close on 95 matches or thereabouts, is 65,000 for 95 matches. You know, you just do some quick arithmetic here. I don't imagine you'd get a ticket for under $100 New Zealand, but even if you paid $100, that's about, what is it, $6 million revenue, ticket revenue in every match. It's not the record, oddly enough. The highest average for a World Cup was in the United States in 1994, where there was an average of 69,000. But the goals per match was also another interesting point here. 2.92 goals have been scored on average at each of the matches so far in this World Cup, which is the highest number of goals in a World Cup match, average match, since 1970, for 56 years. So we're getting a lot more goals. I suppose the fact that there are 48 teams has probably contributed to that to some degree. But there's been five goals in 13 games that have come, five games have been decided after the 85th minute, and six or seven of them have been decided, in fact, eight of them have been decided in the 90th minute or more. So it's action-packed all this way. And again, today we saw the winning goal coming, I think, in about the 88th minute by Spain in their 2-1 victory over Belgium. Only 5% of the goals at this World Cup have come from penalties. That's the lowest ever, going right back to 1930 when the World Cup started. And on an average, 74% of the goals are being scored from the field of play, which is not quite the highest, but it's among the highest. And in the Golden Boot, which is quite an important aspect of the World Cup, for the first time, three or more players have scored seven goals or more, with Mbappe yesterday taking the outright lead now, but with that goal he scored yesterday, which was his eighth. So all of those things are positive. There's some negatives as well. I mean, the sight of Gianni Infantino and his cringing, willingness to appease Donald Trump. Sorry, Don.
I know he's a good friend of yours.
He wanted the FIFA boss, of course, to overturn a red card, so he rang up Infantino, and sure enough, FIFA folded in the face of this sort of angry sort of request from Trump, and it has been rightly ridiculed right around the football world. UEFA, which is the governing body of football in Europe, it says it's completely wrong, and it was completely sort of a disgrace. And managers from many of the teams at the World Cup have said something similar. So all in all, I would say, yes, for me, it is probably the best sporting event I've ever seen.
Absolutely. What's your feelings on this? And just on what you were just saying there, Brendan, when Sepp Blatter comes out and accuses FIFA of all wrongdoings, we know there's something wrong. But, Mark, what's been your opinion on this World Cup so far?
Yeah, look, my most vivid memory, believe it or not, goes back to probably 1978 when Argentina won with Mario Kempes, I think, was playing Aussie Ardiles. And then obviously 82, Maradona sort of established himself, and the great Marco Tardelli goal, and then the hand of God in 86. But I actually concur with Brendan. I was thinking about this the other day. I actually think, in a funny kind of way, because there's only one prize, and there's only one sport, and it is the biggest sport in the world, I actually think it's bigger than the Olympics, the Football World Cup. And just the absolute nationalism. from the countries involved in it. Doesn't matter where you are, the nationalism around their particular team and the results and hanging on it. And most people seem to have a second team too. And, you know, everybody's on knife edge. I mean, look at the way the semi-finals are starting to play out. I think it's been easily the best World Cup I've seen. I think just the style of football being played, the goal scoring. Also, it's the stars that are scoring too, the likes of the Haaland, the likes of the Mbappes, the Messis, the Harry Kanes. I guess all the pin-up boys are the ones that are actually doing the work. There's been those great stories along the way. Cape Verde, obviously. I think Switzerland's a lovely story at the moment. You're always going to get that in a World Cup. There's always going to be that team that goes on a little bit of a run that becomes the darling of the World Cup. Look, I think the French are, without a doubt, a class above everybody else. But this is football. And you can be a team with 76% possession today and still lose. I mean, I thought Spain were a class above Belgium this morning. Suddenly Belgium equalised. Looked like it might go into extra time, even though Spain were probably the most dominant team in that game. But that's football. Yeah, just going with the Infantino thing, yeah. I mean, that's a black mark on his legacy now. United States are out, but that will forever stain the legacy of Gianni Infantino. And they need to sort this out. You know, you had goalkeeper, you had the referee, I think, from Somalia, not allowed into the United States. And, you know, Infantino's talking about, oh, we don't get involved in government and political situations and all this other stuff, and then just completely goes and contradicts himself. You know, you look at the England right back, is it Kwanzaa? You know, he's been given a 2-game suspension for a tackle that I actually thought that he actually went high, but it was only because he rolled up over the ball. His foot actually went up over the ball, he landed on top of the ball and therefore came up high on the opponent. You look at the American one and you go, hey, what is the difference here, man? So, yeah, putting that to, it's just funny how Trump just seems to inject himself into everything. And football's the one thing where it's just escapism for people. We can get away from all the troubles in the world and we can just sort of, I don't know, it's a bit of release. And there's old Donald putting himself in the middle of it all again.
Absolutely. And just on Infantino, you know, he does remind me, and I don't know whether both of you will agree, he is the emperor who's still trying to find his clothes, and that's my feeling. And of course he meets another emperor who's still trying to find his clothes as well too, Brendan.
It's extraordinary really. But he is the boss. Obviously has a lot of clout, and he seems to have decided that one of the important things in his life is to become a close friend of Donald Trump's. Every time I see Trump these days at the football, and he's been to a few matches, there's Infantino next to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, he gets around, I have to say that. Hey, just on one thing, Scotty Scheffler has said that he wants to play in New Zealand. Now, I saw this article. Now, they're hoping that the PGA can expand to Australasia. I hope it does. I think the only real reason we could get some of these stars out there, and it is obviously money, and maybe Ryan Fox has a word in their ears. But to me, I think it would be amazing if we could get some of the top players. Obviously, in the past, we brought Tiger Woods at his peak to the New Zealand Open, but wouldn't it be great if we could actually get some sort of PGA recognition on a tournament here in New Zealand, Brendan? And maybe you can take...
Well, it would be, but I have to don't want to disillusion you, Eamon, but it's never going to happen. I mean, we couldn't even make it work when the New Zealand Open was part of the DP World Tour, the European Tour. Yeah, it's interesting with Scheffler. I recall about 2 weeks ago, it may well have been in the US Open, I think it was possibly the third round of the US Open, Scheffler was paired with Ryan Fox. They were playing in pairs for the last 2 days. And when you're playing for 4.5 hours, 5 hours with someone who you get on well with and you like, you discuss a lot of things. And I imagine that idea came up there. I've heard since then, or read since then, from Scheffler saying one of the drivers for wanting to come to New Zealand is his wife. His wife, for many years apparently, has heard about New Zealand and has wanted to come to New Zealand. And now he would like to come down here with the family. So I don't think it'll be in the form of an official golf tournament. Rory McIlroy came here last year to play a couple of golf courses that he heard sneaked in and out of the country quietly and really impressed with what he saw. And so I imagine that's how it'll be, that Scheffler will come down here, want to play up at Te Arai. Foxy will probably pal up with him as well. So I think that's probably what happened. But it'll be a private visit, I think, if he comes here. It won't be part of the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it won't be part of a promotion either. So you won't be able to get him down to Akarana on a Sunday to play a round with you.
Yeah,
Mark, it's kind of like they always have parties after these golf tournaments, which I never get invited to. Only Jakey Brendan. Mark, Warriors. Good win by the Warriors. Possibly fell asleep during the first half.
Yeah, it's been a little bit their thing in the last four or five games where I guess they've even acknowledged it themselves at times. They've just switched off in some very close games they probably should have won. They've lost. But look, I just like the Warriors full stop. I think I'm not actually concerned if we've got to play playoff games away from home. I think we've demonstrated this year we're probably almost a better side away than we are at home. I really like what they're doing. I think we're on the cusp of something really special here. You know, whether we win the NRL championship or not, but I think for the first time, we're actually starting to see the layers below the first team too, which is now starting to produce and provide us that depth. And yeah, really good performance last night. I mean, but you know, Benji Marshall and this Tigers team, eh? They're just so damn erratic. You've only got to get on top of them early and they tend to wave the white flag a little bit. But they're the games you need to win, and they actually beat us when we played them, I think, in round four at home. So, you know, there's no point going out and winning those big, big games and then dropping games to sides that you expect to beat. So look, yeah, really positive, really pleased for Warriors fans. I mean, this is a Warriors city, isn't it, really? I mean, it's unbelievable to see the whole WAS movement and the crowds they get in Australia, the crowds they get here. And, you know, they tend to be probably a little bit more blue-collar, if I can use those terms these days. And it's really important, I think, you know, for the fan and Warriors fans. You know, they have been suffering for a long time, so yeah, couldn't be prouder of them.
Brendan, what was your thoughts on the Warriors last night?
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was an excellent game. Yes, they could have added a few more points, but they won 30-6. The West Tigers aren't the worst team in the competition. Here's my prediction, incidentally, and it was stemming from one of the comments made last night by the commentators, that if you finish in the top two in the minor premiership, you have a week off for a start-off, and then you have a home match. And if you win that, you get a home semi-final. And this guy was saying that who would think they could beat the Warriors in a playoff match at Mount Smart Stadium? And if they win the playoff, they get a semi-final at home. And so, therefore, he was almost saying that the Warriors just about in the final now. So I've got two predictions. I'll leave you on this note. Two predictions. England to win the Football World Cup and the Warriors to win the grand final.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
I hope Brendan's right on England. I think England are the one team. If they play France in a final, they won't beat them because they're a better team. They'll beat them because they'll know how to frustrate the French. And I'd love to see England win it.
You know what? It's 60 years from 66, isn't it? Wouldn't it be appropriate? Hey, just one thing that has slipped under the radar. Wimbledon. We've had the World Cup. We've been speaking everything else. But Wimbledon, it's really slipped under the radar for a lot of people.
Well, it's on Disney for a start off. And my wife said to me this morning, she said, you're not watching much of the tennis this time. But, oh, it's such a convoluted process. They have to go here, there. And you've got to put in a code. I've got to put in a four-numbered code every time I get to Disney before I get any material. And I'm thinking, no, I can't be bothered. And Alcaraz is up there. And so Sinner looks like he's going to win it. I see he put away Djokovic without much difficulty last night. But even the Football World Cup, you know, I counted the other night, going from just ordinary, say, TV1, watching the news and going across the TVNZ Plus to watch the football, I had to press a total 15 times to get to the football match, just to get from TV1 to TVNZ Plus. I mean, you know, I'll never criticise Sky again, I think.
Yeah, but Brendan, it's the case of, with you, mate, no offence, but you can't put back in what God left out, mate. Okay? It's normally a three-button press, mate. Seriously.
No, it's not. It's not. It's 15 on my set anyway. Now, I got it down to 13, I think, last night.
Well, Mark, I have to say, I'm going to say this guy's really enjoyed the chat. Mark, I just need to have a quick chat to you afterwards on something. Just have to say, Mark, good luck with the tour in China, and we'll catch up in a few weeks' time. Mr. Telfer, I hope they sort out the problem with the pin codes and everything for whatever you want to watch on TV. So
I'm off to a Matariki lunch, So I'm hoping someone from Māori can tell me about the Stars tonight, whether they might help me to get to the Football World Cup a bit quicker.
Okay, well, I hope so too. Well, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I'm
then.
Not hopeful, mate. Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, guys, have a great weekend. Cheers. That's us done. Cheers.
See you.
And that's us done.